Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Have you ever dealt with someone who had narcissistic personality disorder?
Basically, what they're saying, my mom would do that too, is that they're basically saying, no, I do not accept you for the way you are. I want you to be the way I want you to be.
On today's Storyworthy, comedian Craig Shoemaker talks about dealing with someone who has narcissistic personality disorder.
Then I realized that this was not a marriage of integrity. This was a marriage based on a lie. Not her lie, but my lie. I became that liar that I was brought up with.
On today's Storyworthy, comedian Craig Shoemaker talks about dealing with someone who has narcissistic personality disorder.
Because anytime you are protecting your image, you're lying. You're not being your true self. And I married this person that I truly did feel like, oh, this is the one I love. But I loved was the familiar feeling. I didn't love this person for the way she was or accept her for who she is.
Craig Shoemaker talks about narcissistic personality disorder today on Storyworthy. Stay close. Did I ever tell you guys that I'm a lousy cook? Well, guess what? That's changing because now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and super convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. And not only does it save you time on your weekly shop, it helps you discover how easy and delicious cooking can really be. Like, I love cooking with my friends. I mean, it's a nice way to spend time with people and catch up. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Happy cooking, you guys. Okay, I think I've said this before, but the hardest part for me about cooking is the shopping. Like, I can't find what I need in the store, and I don't have time to figure it all out. I get frustrated. But now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that partners with sustainable farms, fisheries, and butchers to bring you all the ingredients you need to create incredible meals every week. Now, recently, I made shrimp and lemon risotto with roasted zucchini and parmesan, and it was fantastic. I mean, both my daughter, Alabama, and I loved it. And by the way, she cannot believe that I'm actually cooking these meals. I tell her to come in the kitchen and watch me. It's happening. And it's really easy, you guys. The recipes all have step-by-step instructions, and my meals come out looking just like the picture. I mean, it's amazing. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Have fun with it, you guys.
Hi, it's Craig Shoemaker. They want me to do Les Mis because I'm a Les Mis freak. You are listening to Storyworthy. You will love it. Oh, yes, you will. Be here this week and next week too. I'll be here and here for you.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. All right, I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you enjoyed last week's show with Kathy Ladman, Nightmare Gig on a Cruise Ship. And if you didn't listen to that show, you really need to go back because Kathy is damn funny. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship, you're going to relate to the whole, you know, the whole thing, the whole experience. But today, I'm very excited to have in studio with us the Love Master himself, Craig Shoemaker. And as you guys know, Craig, you know, he's one of those guys who just does it all, right? I mean, first of all, he's been in the business for like 3 decades, so there's that. But also, you know, there's the comedy, there's the writing, there's the performing, there's the seminars that he does. And then he's got like this positive attitude, you know, whatever that's all about. No, but he has a message is what it is. And it's really uplifting and super fun. And I know this because Craig has been on the show before. So you can go back in the story where the catalog, you can hear him, like I said, on other shows. You know, he's been around. But today he brings forth the topic, narcissistic personality disorder. And I don't know about you, but I have definitely had a few narcissistic people in my life. Some of them, like, obviously, to their detriment. And then others, you know, like, when I think about my dad, because he was kind of narcissistic, but, like, to me, it was kind of like a healthy narcissism, because I can kind of, I could compartmentalize it. Do you know what I mean, Sergio? Like, my dad was so, like, charming in so many ways. So I'd say, oh, hey, Dad, meet my friend Sergio. And then, you know, oh, nice to meet you. And my dad might say, oh, so Sergio, what do you do? And trust me, no matter what you say, he's not listening. He doesn't care. It's not personal. He just doesn't care. So that kind of narcissism, like where my dad just, he's not interested in what anybody else says, or, you know, now he's passed since. So, of course, now I look back on all this very fondly, right? He's not here. But I think there is a sense of healthy narcissism. So, of course, I looked up the definition. I think that's fair. You could also look up the definition, but, you know, we're talking about it, so I'm going to read it for you.
Narcissistic personality disorder is a mental disorder in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for admiration, and a lack of empathy for others. But behind this mask of ultra-confidence lies a fragile self-esteem that's vulnerable to the slightest criticism. A narcissistic personality disorder causes problems in many areas of life, such as relationships, work, school, or financial affairs. You may be generally unhappy and disappointed when you're not given the special favors or admiration you believe you deserve. Others may not enjoy being around you, and you may find your relationships unfulfilling.
So who does this sound like? Yeah, the president. Exactly. Donald J. Trump. This sounds exactly like him. Narcissistic personality disorder. A complete unawareness of what other people are going through. Just a complete lack of empathy. Just a true feeling of, like, he's different than the rest of us. And I dated somebody, and he was kind of famous, so I'm not going to bring up any names, but he, and if you listen to me all the time, you know exactly who I'm talking about, but he had this, he had a touch of this narcissistic personality disorder, and not in a good way, a very, very much a grandiose feelings of that he's much more important than anything I could possibly say. This is no good, this narcissistic personality disorder, but it is fascinating. I'll say that. It's fascinating. And there really isn't any treatment for it, because people that have it would never fucking admit that they are nothing that less than perfect. They would never say, you know what, I think I might have something going on. That would never occur to them, because it's in defiance of the exact disorder that they have. Anyway. They do feel like they are in a different position. And I was going to say, this guy that I dated, the time that I dated him, when we were together and we were doing things with a lot of very, very wealthy people, there was definitely an us versus them mentality. You know, like, you know, I just happen to have a better circumstance. There's always going to be, this is the attitude that I heard coming from all of them, the whole environment. This is the card that I was dealt. I got lucky enough to be born in this circumstance and this color and this race and live in this country, and I happen to be privileged. There's always going to be rich people like me, and there's always going to be super poor people. So why shouldn't I be one of the rich people? Come along with me, and you can be on my side. We are different than them. And it was very, very stark. There was absolutely no sense of, like, shouldn't everybody be given a fair chance, which I guess is the socialist in me. But it just seems like, if you have a narcissistic personality disorder, you just don't, it doesn't occur to you that you are wrong about anything. Anyway, so this is going to be a lot of fun to talk to Craig. I know he's got a great story, and he's coming on in a second. I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Storyworthy, and head over to the Facebook page and like the Storyworthy page. That is a good page because I post, you know, additional stuff on that. Little pictures, things I don't talk about on the show. We have a little conversation going on over there. So you're on Facebook anyway. So please, I know you're there. I can see you. So don't even think you're getting away from it. You have to like my page. Okay? Okay. Deal. All right, you guys, he's here right now. Craig Shoemaker, like I said, he is a comedian and a writer and an actor. And get this, Sergio, you listening? He's performed for four of the United States presidents. Four of the presidents. How cool is that? Will he perform for Trump? That's the question, right? He's also guest starred and had reoccurring acting roles on all sorts of television programs. He's performed tons of solo television specials. He's hosted and produced reality television. He's written for all sorts of films and sitcoms, recently on that show Fuller House. And he's an award-winning producer and a best-selling author. Is that all? I mean, could we get some accomplishments? You know what I mean? Is there something I could bite my teeth into? Something, some other place I could find him, perhaps? You know what I mean? I mean, besides CraigShoemaker.com, besides that. Oh, yeah, I know. You can find him on Twitter, at The Love Master. All right, you guys, wherever you are, please put your hands together for the one and only Craig Shoemaker.
When I hear my biography read back to me, it fascinates me. It makes me take a pause and think about the kid that became that. The child who was born into a family that basically didn't want him. And father leaves when I'm born. I'm like, was it something I said? Wah. And then the mother who based her like or based her raising on me on what I would do for her and behave in the right way. And that's where the tiny little rewards would come in. And it just fascinates me to realize how far past that limited space I can live in this infinite space of being able to perform all over the world and have those opportunities and share my stories with others and hope that maybe they can get something, whether it's a laugh or inspiration. And this is a kid that wanted to be inspired but didn't know what the word meant. This is a kid that wanted to be loved but didn't know what that meant, didn't know what that felt like. And to also think what's not in the bio is this infinite divine love that I feel every single day now. Wow. What a great journey. My little girl crawled up into my arms every night. She just magnetically is drawn into my arms and rests her head on my boobs. Those are male boobs, in case you want to know. And I sit there and I just contemplate and get in that space of peace of, and realize that it's the exact opposite of what I come from. I come from chaos and mayhem and disease and disorder. And I didn't know where to turn with this. So the way I turned was I became a fixer and a rescuer, and I even tried to fix my mom up with guys so that she would be happy. I once wrote to a guy, I looked at baseball cards and I couldn't care what they hit. You know, their RBI or home runs. I looked for one thing, marital status. And I found this one card. I go, look, Mom, Tim McCarver, he's a catcher for the Phillies, and I'm a pitcher, and he could be my stepdad and teach me how to pitch in the backyard, and he could be your husband. And I thought it would make her so happy. She goes, he doesn't want me. I go, yes, he does. I held out hope, and I wrote him a letter to Veterans Stadium. You should meet my mother. And I put her picture of her belly dancing. I put that in there. She was also Scheherazade at one time, a little phase that she went through. And he didn't write me back. But sometimes the best things in life happen if you wait. I got to know his very good friend, Joe Buck. Next time I see Joe Buck, he hands me a ball signed by Tim McCarver. It says, dear son, time to grow up. Love, Dad. So I got to write a book called God's a Slow Motherfucker. I also wrote to Paul Lynn, the center square of Hollywood Squares. I wrote him a couple of letters, not realizing the ascot might have been a giveaway, that he wasn't interested in my mother. I put her photo in there. I should have put mine. But it became a pleasing others instead of pleasing myself. Living for others and living in their image and not in my own. And so began the journey of finding self, but having no idea that's what the journey was about. The journey became about what would make my mom happy. And I married someone exactly like her, with every single quality. I remember standing there in our backyard that she descended the stairs. I'll never forget the hate on her face. You know, most guys go for looks. They go for good looks. I go for looks of disdain. That's what I'm attracted to. And I'd see red flags and paint them green. And I did that with her. I thought, wow, she's the one, because my mother is going to love what she puts up in the house as far as decorations. She'll love the way she keeps the house. She loves that she's Irish. She'll love all of these things. I can't wait. And then I realized that this was not a marriage of integrity. This was a marriage based on a lie. Not her lie, but my lie. I became that liar that I was brought up with. Because anytime you are protecting your image, you're lying. You're not being your true self. And I married this person that I truly did feel like, oh, this is the one I love. But I loved was the familiar feeling. I didn't love this person for the way she was or accept her for who she is. So I divorced. I said, this is no longer going to take place. Some of the same manifestations of whatever problems both of them have would come at me. Some people would call it abuse, and you become used to abuse. You just think, oh, this is part of the thing. This is part of marriage. You go to a therapist. I had no idea there was another option. Oh, I'll make this work, just like I try to make my mom work. I can do it, because Craig, you've got the goods to do this. I always thought I had the power to be able to change a situation. I didn't understand that I don't. But I had the illusion that I could. That was my image. I could save this situation and make everyone happy. And by the way, I became a stand-up comedian. Who knew? So, making other people, strangers, happy, turning their frowns upside down, fixing them up with Paul Lynde. Whatever the reasoning is, that's how I felt. Was I felt better if other people were happy, and was also a way to detach from sadness and depression and frustration and feeling a lack of self-esteem. So I would live for the pats on the back. I would make sure that I did the things, the right things that my mother had taught me. You get her a diamond. What a scam the whole diamond thing is. They always go, diamonds are forever. You know what? So is bad credit. I mean, so I got her this beautiful ring that had her mother's jewels in it. Her mother had passed away, and she hands it back to me. She goes, I can't show this to my friends. And I remember the profound disappointment I had, where, wow, really? You're going to reject this thing that I searched so far and wide to make sure that it was the exact thing that you would want, that I've been told that a woman would want? I bought the bill of goods. But again, I was lying, because I was not myself. I would not buy. I'd get cubic zirconia if it was up to me. Or no ring at all. Whatever it is, I wouldn't authentically buy this giant diamond that she wanted. And I should be able to tell her that, if I'm honest. And a true relationship is absolute, rigorous, profound honesty. So I divorced her. And this did not go over well with her. It came as a surprise, even though she threatened every other day. I remember I put a fence up. You put that fence up and we're getting a divorce. I'm like, really? It's to keep the dog in. And you're going to divorce over this? And it would compare me to her brother, who was perfect, and all that. It was all those comparisons of, you know, here's the guy that's a great guy that would never do what you're doing. And basically what they're saying, my mom would do that too, is they're basically saying, no, I do not accept you for the way you are. I want you to be the way I want you to be. And so a year and a half after our divorce, separation, I got a phone call. I was on the road making people laugh, as I've been doing for decades. I got this phone call. It was a voicemail on my phone, and I played it back. I was in Mill Valley, California, 400 miles from Los Angeles where I live, and they said, this is Child Services calling. And as a guy that's really, really helped a lot of people, especially in that area, because I was kidnapped and molested when I was a kid, I couldn't wait to call them back to say, what can I do for you? I just assumed they were asking me for some information. I didn't know what it was about, but all I knew was, wow, Child Protective Services. I called them right back. They said, your sons are being examined right now, anal exams. And I said, what? And I flipped out. I said, I'll be right there. And who is it? And they said, we can't tell anymore because you're the suspect. So my ex-wife, that's where her rage turned into, is revenge. And she went as far as making up a story, running with a story all the way to that point where she could lie and tell these people that I was because my son said something to her. It's like, well, if he said something to you, you might want to check, or you might want to say, he says he sees a monster. Do you believe that one? He said, I peed on his shoulder, and you turned that into a whole other thing. And so what would you expect a two-year-old to say? I mean, they turned it around, twisted people, and that's what people of this ilk do. They find people to collude. They gaslight. They prey upon fears, of which that's probably the top fear for people, is child safety. So now the people come to her aid. And obviously, I become the suspect. And so began the worst part of my journey, and yet the best part. Because the best part is learning how to handle something as absolutely stunning to the system of being to the point where I was paralyzed. I did not know what to do with this. Fortunately, I was with my now wife at the time, and we went for the longest walk of my life because I had to walk these feelings off. I didn't know what to do. I'm a fixer. I'm a doer. That's how I've been trained. I know how to handle this. Put me in, coach. That's who I am. I had nothing to do with this situation. 400 miles away. I went into a panic, freaked out. So I came back. We went to court. And so began that process, which is pretty much like going to Las Vegas and you're dealing with people that want to keep you gambling. They're not interested in a solution. They're not interested in what I'm interested in is something spiritually fulfilling, something beautiful to hand down to children. And other people that are in the court are not interested in that whatsoever. They're interested in some illusion of victory, of which is not my victory. And what happens is the opposition, lowlight every single aspect of your life. And then the microscope is on. And sure enough, the irony is, when attacked, my response is being what I am being accused of being. That's when the rubber hit the road. How do I respond in a way that doesn't come back? I had lawyers that would say, let's go after her. We'll sue her. Her brothers threatened my life. You know, she got my brothers involved. Here was the worst wound of all that was reopened. She went to my mother and convinced her to take her side. Now, I know of mothers that have guilty sons of things like this or criminals. Like a Ma Barker is how I picture my mother. It's like, you know, we're having a shootout and, you know, my boys are the best, you know, meanwhile they're criminals. And you think that a mother would protect her son at all costs. The exact opposite happened because I oppose my mom's paradigm and my ex-wife embraces it and colludes with it. And that's what they do. People who have this, they find those who will co-sign what they do. And that becomes their allegiance. That becomes their team, their posse that they put together. And they use fear and these tiny rewards as a way to keep them. And I responded in horrible ways. Name-calling, reverse accusations, yelling, manipulation. I did so many things during that time. And then one day, the light came in. If I allow the light and don't focus on the darkness and focus on the fear and focus on what's happening, a light came in. A levity came in, and it just said, I used to have a BlackBerry, and her speed dial was under F, and it stood for, with frustration, you fucking asshole. That was her name, was fucking asshole. Like, I just press it with ferocity. I practically wore off the F. And one day, the light came in, and I gently pressed it, and it stood for forgiveness. And from that moment forward, I know where the answer is. It's never in anything she'll change doing, ever. It's never in any logic. It's never in any reason. People go, why is she this way? It's because she is. And I have to be in acceptance of that and forgive myself for the feelings that I have. That's where it ends, is I have my life in beauty and wonderment and awareness now and enlightenment and a wonderful life, no matter what comes at me. And that was the lesson.
Man, that's a hell of a story. I feel like you can't ever believe what other people go through. People will look at you, Craig, and think, because you are a success and you've had so many wonderful experiences and you have all these accomplishments, but this kind of personal pain exists. So maybe, I mean, I guess that everything happens for a reason, right? And now you are able to turn it around, help other people, empathize with other people who have to estrange from their family members. Is that the word, estrange?
Yeah. Well,
estrange themselves from other family members.
Basically, I think there's a problem with, I talked to my friend last night, who, by the way, I went to his house and had a celebration because he too has an ex-wife with this borderline personality disorder, or otherwise known as narcissistic personality disorder. I think it more exists, the borderline more exists in females and the narcissism more exists in the men.
Interesting. So that's another kind of narcissism.
Exactly. And it manifests itself in ways of absolute liars but believe their lies.
Yeah.
Finding people to collude with them, accusing and blaming, and never, ever. And therapists say never use the word never. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this is a never accountable.
Yeah,
they do not have an accountability gene. Everything is about their image and preserving their image of what they think people think about them. And by the way, most people know the truth.
Yeah.
And they will go to any lengths for revenge if you are their best friend or their enemy, and very little in between.
And there's nothing in between.
Yes, because it's a loyalty thing to them. It's like a betrayal. They'll use the word betrayal.
So do you think your mother and your ex-wife both have...
Absolutely.
This
yes.
It's narcissism, borderline...
It's called borderline personality disorder. Yeah. And they have it where they don't know any better. And for me to expect an apology from them, and by the way, I've done all that.
Right, yeah, you passed all that, I'm sure.
I've done all the apologies and the amends, and I've done, you know, I've shown up. And by the way, I pay her a fortune, you know, let's go to that point. But
yeah, I know that you guys have obviously been through therapy, and any therapist in the world sat down with, and you don't care.
And I always say, you pick it.
You pick it,
because
yeah.
What they'll do is they keep you, they hold you hostage.
Yeah.
That's another thing they do. They'll say, then you find a therapist and they'll find something wrong with the therapist. If the therapist ever challenges them, that is the end. And
that's
then
it.
They'll go after the therapist and threaten to go to the board and have them non-certified. Then they're afraid of them. They keep people in fear.
Yeah.
And that is the key to borderlines
and narcissism.
So does
this sound like Donald Trump to you?
Well, see, that's what I wanted to get across. That's why I chose this topic. Yeah. Obviously, I'm a comedian. I didn't tell the funniest story in the world.
No, that's all right. No.
You're talking about Kathy Laban last week, the listener. I'm going, well, they're not going to want to listen to this if they want to be humorized.
No, listen, Heather McDonald, a very successful comedian, she just came on the show and talked about having to be estranged from her sister. And she has 3 restraining orders against her. I mean, so this stuff happens more often than not. I have a sister I haven't talked to in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this stuff happens in life.
It is so sad. And I will tell you a very recent story. This is in the now.
But wait a minute. It's sad. Yeah. But just because we came out of the same womb doesn't mean we have anything in common besides that.
Well, I'll tell you, with my sister, I have a tremendous amount in common. Oh, my God. I used the word tremendous. That's what Donald Trump uses.
Bigly.
He got into me. Bigly. Disaster.
So sad.
Yeah, I always want to know, if you think you're smart, find that book, 30 Days to a More Powerful Vocabulary.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
My God, use the same words.
And all of his
but I realize
tweets...
he's saying it to the people that would follow the same words, because if you repeat it enough, that's what narcissists do and the borderlines do, is they repeat the same story. Now, the kids are grown up now, by the way.
Okay.
And my oldest son confronts her.
That must be so difficult.
She will take that to the grave that she was right to go through these courts. And she's taken the children away from their dad, who they love, and makes them lie. And it becomes this whole system of chaos. Now, here's what I'm going to get to associate it with politics. I'll be honest with you, I have never been this whacked with politics.
Yeah.
This feels different. And I think there's a reason for that. First of all, I'm already not honoring my own integrity. I'm watching the news. And I never watch the news. And it makes me well.
Yeah.
Honestly, because the only job of the news is to get you upset. Then the drug company sponsors the news that handles the anxiety they just gave you.
So right.
It's all a thing. And then insurance companies. Just watch who the ads are.
I know.
The ads are the same corporations, these white patriarchs, and they want you to just get in line.
My daughter and I have so many running jokes about those, the ads, the pharmaceutical ads.
Yeah.
Because they're all made up names, you know, like
my
Latufa,
God.
Papuki, Lagaga. You can just pick 3 sounds. And I always say, Alabama, watch. So first they'll talk about the problem. And then here comes the solution. So we watch ads together.
Yeah.
And so she's very aware, you know, how the hero woman won't have makeup on. And then, of course, she does have makeup on. They make the, you know, they change it. Everything is obviously colluding to get you to be sick.
But the side effects.
I can't
and they're getting
imagine.
Away with pushing these drugs.
I know.
It's all about money.
So
they're getting away with pushing, like Ambien, half of the commercials, how it could kill you. I need better sleep, not a dirt nap.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
it's a whole system that we're under. So why are you watching it then? I don't understand. How are you making yourself
do
that?
It's an addiction.
I see.
It's absolutely an addiction. So I went off of my path of, let's call it recovery.
Yeah.
So I'm recovering from the former toxic world that I lived in. And more than recovering, thriving in this new world that I live, that I created with my co-creator, which is higher power, source, whatever is within us. I'm writing a book now called Get Out of Line and Into Alignment. Get out of these lines that they put you in, starting with the Pledge of Allegiance when we were kids. Just get out of line and think about, what is your source telling you?
Yeah.
Is your source telling you to post a meme that was posted by somebody who has an agenda because they want you to stay fighting so they can keep all the money? Just get out of line and think about that. Or look how many commercials are sponsored by corporations and think of their agenda. Is it good for the environment? Probably not. That's what my light and source tells me, not MSNBC or Fox News. They don't tell me anything. Everything is contained within us.
So what are you watching it for then? I don't understand.
Because it's feeding my addiction. However, in my recovery, this is why I wanted to talk about this today. What did I do with my ex-wife and my mom? I stepped back and become my organic, authentic self.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's who responds. So now if I step back from this Donald Trump thing, I realize, oh, my God, I'm so powerless and I'm only feeding my beast with all this information about him. What if I looked at it this way? What if I looked at it like this is an opportunity for growth? It's an opportunity. We're all going to have these situations which come at us, right, which cause more fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how do I handle that? They're picking what I see to give me the anxiety, right? They didn't pick who I fear. When I grew up, it was communists. Where'd they go? You think really Reagan took the wall
down? But this is what's happening right now.
It's what's happening according to the white patriarchs.
Right.
That's who gives you all your perspective. It all comes through their
vision. Right, but I mean, the executive orders that he's signing is happening.
But there's some things we have to let go on. My ex-wife signed a lot of things. She signed a lot of papers with accusations and so forth. But at the end of the process, if you go to the enlightenment part of it, that's what will happen. That's going to happen if we trust and have faith. That's what's going to happen if we stay within our own realm of consciousness. That's what's going to happen when you do challenge from your sense of purpose. You challenge him all along the way. This is a chance for people to shift.
Yeah. People are more active, and there's more activists than ever.
So what a wonderful thing he's done.
It is. It has pulled
people who were asleep for years.
It's pulled people together.
We were asleep for years during the Obama administration.
Yeah.
So guess what? People are waking up for better or for worse.
By the way.
So he's appealing to the angry and the blamers and people who follow that.
He's a narcissist. Sort of,
exactly.
He sure is.
Just like my ex has her brothers and so other people that hate me.
And he has
And they
Pence,
rely on hate and they rely
Ryan,
on revenge.
And he has all
exactly.
these people.
Exactly. And they surround themselves with those people.
Steve Bannon, Steve Miller.
Right. These are only people that are going to,
they're
emperor's new clothes. But guess what's going to happen from this? This is like, I hit a bottom in my responses. Do you think any of my angry responses could ever meet hers or my mother's? Do you think any angry response could ever meet the rage that's inside of Donald Trump?
No.
You can see it. It's oozing out of him.
He's seething. Yeah.
He's seething with anger.
And it goes back to his childhood, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are we to do about that? We can't turn around and do what he wants to do and control him. He wants to control people.
Right.
He wants to control how you feel about him. That's what they do. That's what these borderlines and narcissists do. They are authoritarians.
How do you say authoritarians, that's the word.
And they try to dictate and command, and they treat you literally like a dog. Good boy, and pat you, hand you a medal, or whatever it is. Here's a reward. I'll give you a job, like Kellyanne Conway, who was against them one day. Ted Cruz against them one day. And then suddenly, when it comes to money and power, everyone loses their integrity. Well, guess what? We have a chance to gain more integrity. Stand in our purpose. Stand in our meaning.
Let me ask you something.
And that's the chance that we have now. He's giving us a chance to
And it's happening. It is happening.
Exactly.
People are resisting. Let me ask you, because we got to wrap it up, but I wanted to ask you, two things. You know, you were talking about the chaos that you grew up in and the mayhem in your house. I always heard that people grow up and they either repeat the way they grew up or they do a 360 and or a 180, would it be a 180?
It would be a 180, yeah. 360, return to it.
Right, they do a 180, and
they
have the complete opposite of that. And it sounds like you've done that with your family.
Absolutely.
And that is beautiful.
That's how I parent, I'd say.
So I'm thrilled.
Give them what you always wished you
had. Your family is beautiful. The pictures I've seen, your little girl, your wife, everybody looks so happy.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've really pulled that off. And then the other thing is, do you have any narcissistic people in your life now that you allow in? Because like I was saying, I had a boyfriend. I went out with a guy for about 6 months, a complete narcissist. I didn't really see it. I didn't understand it. Now, of course, with space in between, and I can look back and I see what I was dealing with. Do you have anybody that you don't mind is in your life like that?
No, because you compromise yourself if you give into it, because you start to go into denial.
Yeah.
And it's just like people that live in halfway houses. Oh, but he's such a good guy on his good days. No, you want someone who's good, period.
Yeah.
And that they work on their goodness and you have their faults and admit them. If they don't admit any faults, if they just keep on doing what they're doing, like the other day we do this thing, it was a new one. We do gratitude lists with our family. We do what I love about you. And everyone does it, by the way, even the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
You say what you love about them. I did another one the other day about trust. I said, level of 1 to 10, how much do you trust?
Yeah.
My wife did to me, and she goes, you're 2 different people. You're a 2 and an 8. And I went, ooh, 2.
Really? And what was that all about?
That hit me. And I said, you know what, honey? You're absolutely right. I am a 2 at times. Here's the good news, is that I'm aware of it. A narcissist would never be aware of it.
Yeah, they would never occur to them that they could do that.
They would defend and come back and go, how dare you? You make me an 8 right now.
Yeah.
So guess what happened was I step back and get into my alignment and listen to my source, my infinite, beautiful light source. And it says, yeah, absolutely. Admit it to her. That makes her feel good. So now I go up to a 4. Start being more loving and patient. I go up to a 6. Really, truly take her in and the family in and love them unconditionally, puts me up.
Yeah.
So the other day she turns me, I took her to this beautiful salon thing it's called. It's a bunch of enlightened people from The Secret and so forth.
What do they do there?
We had this dinner and it's a hosted dinner and everybody at the table has a host and you talk about, we talked about instinctive parenting, which turned into an entire other discussion, including about the Donald Trump thing. We walked out of there. She goes, that was one of the best moments of my life. You're an 11.
Oh, that is the sweetest thing.
And it was only from just being conscious and stepping back and pausing and breathing the spirit, you know, with it. And from that point forward, when she said that, a narcissist would take that and run with it and go find people to attack her.
Yeah.
I embraced it and looked at it as an opportunity.
You and I are going to be on the right side of history. I'll tell you that.
That's right. And we have to be confident in that. Look, they're louder, we're stronger.
There you go. That's excellent. Thank you so much, Craig. I really appreciate you coming.
Thanks. I know it wasn't funny, but
no,
folks,
it's all right. No,
come to my show. I never even talk about this stuff on stage.
Yeah, you know, we are talking to the Love Master. You guys
realize
that.
Oh, baby. That's right, ladies.
You see what I'm saying?
I love you,
Craig,
so good. Your neighbor will have a smoke, baby.
Craig is from Philadelphia, you guys.
I can't look at me right now.
He's from Philadelphia, and I'm from Pittsburgh, and you are white, and I am white. We're both so white. And when you do that voice, it's like you're Barry White in front of me.
I just had my DNA done. I'm 14% African, by the way.
Join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by comedian Lana Turner titled The Breakup.
I loved him. He was the funniest, sweetest man I'd ever met. He made me so happy. We laughed all the time. And despite his size, I adored him. I always thought that he would lose the weight. He promised me he would.
Don't miss this very personal story by Lana Turner next week on Storyworthy.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Wondery Media, including Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. I gave him Girl Scout cookies today, so the audio is going to be good. That's my point. Listen, you guys, don't forget to follow Craig Shoemaker over on Twitter at The Love Master and follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of our storyteller, Craig Shoemaker. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story-Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.